Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Well, this is going to be an amazing year, 2010. First year of a new decade. First year, if we use that analogy that God has been speaking to us about coming into the promised land or coming into the inheritance that God has been speaking to us about, seeing the fulfillment of many promises that he has given for this new generation of time. He has done much in a previous generation of time and has fulfilled many things that he spoke in that season and for that generation of time. But he's been speaking over these past months, even years, about this next generation of time. And it's amazing God's timing when we see the history of who we are as Kingdom Faith, beginning sort of way back or pre-Kingdom Faith around 1970. We come into 2010, 40 years later, which as we know is a biblical generation. And we've seen over that generation of time, many, many, many hundreds of thousands of people's lives changed all over the world through the ministry of Pastor Colin and Kingdom Faith. And as we come into this next generation of time, God is wanting to build on that. He wants to move from that into this whole new season of time where, again, part of the call is to see nations change, nations impacted, not just our own nation and community, but the nations of the world, every continent. He's called us to be a house of prayer for all nations. And so if he says you're a house of prayer for all nations, then there must be something that he has done, is doing and will do that's going to touch every nation on the earth because of what he's doing here amongst us, through what he does through other Kingdom Faith churches, through what he does in relating churches, whether in this nation or in other nations, through teams of people traveling this nation and beyond, taking the word, taking the dynamic of life that we have together, that he's called us to touch every nation of the earth. What a privilege. I don't know, turn to somebody next and say, wow, that's amazing. God has called me to be part of something that touches every nation of the earth. How he's going to do all of that in this coming time, that's what's going to unfold in this next 30 or 40 years. Caroline, you're laughing down there. You'll be 110 by then, yeah. These guys are going to be 70 in the next few weeks. It's amazing, isn't it? Amazing. Who else is in their 70s here? Anybody else in their 70s? Hey. Anybody in their 60s? A few more. 50s. 40s. 30s. 20s. Yeah. Teenage years. Come on. Pastor Jonathan, is that spirit of lying cast out of him? He's you're going to be 5-0 this year, is that right? Yeah. 50. It's going to be 50. Brilliant. Excellent. Now, we've got a vision night on Wednesday. By saying that, it doesn't mean we haven't got any. We need to know what it is. We should call it kind of, I don't know, vision strategy, whatever, night. But we're going to be quite practical on Wednesday in terms of how does God want us to begin to move into this next generation of time? How do we put feet? How do we put legs and feet on the word that God has been given, been giving? I want to say the word, not just the word, but his word to us. How do we put legs and feet on that? How do we put action to that in relation to what God is saying? Okay. And so what we're going to do this morning, just for half an hour, so just kind of sum up a little bit what's been happening since the beginning of September. Where are we? What has God been saying? How have we responded to that? And where are we today? At this moment, and then on Wednesday, we're kind of going to put some very practical action to that in terms of what that's going to mean this year and a little bit about the next few years. Now, in your Bible, we're going to look at Isaiah 51 and we're going to look at some things in Joshua. They're the two main scripture areas, if you like, that God has been using over the last 4 months through September through December to really help us understand where we are as a church in relation to what God is saying and what he is doing. I'm kind of reading a leadership book by somebody at the moment, and there's loads of really short chapters. He breaks the book down into areas and then has many short chapters within each area. And one of the things in one area of the book, section of the book, there's one little chapter. They're all about two or three pages long. But he basically talks about the title of the chapter is "You Are Always in Season." That's the title of the chapter. And he said one of the things about leaders is you've always got to know what season you're in. If you know what season you're in, you'll be ready then to move into the next season that God's going to take you into. And the Bible talks about, doesn't it, Paul, you know, to be ready in season and out of season. And in some ways, that's no matter what's happening in your life, we always want to be ready for whatever God is doing. And he said that one of the arts of leadership, or one of the responsibilities of leadership, is to know the season that you're in. If somebody comes up to you as a leader and says, "What's God doing with you right now? Where are you? Where's your church? What is happening with you?" Then you should be able to say, "This is exactly what God is saying and doing with us at the moment. This is the season that we're in." And then following that, he said, "Now if the leadership knows the season that it's in, then the people need to know what season. Because it's no good just the leader knowing, but everybody has to know. Because if we know the season we're in, what God is saying, then we all know how to move together in that season. And then we move together from that season into the next one." And for us, God has been using this analogy of one generation of time and coming into a next generation of time. And hopefully everybody's understood that, getting to grips with that, and has at least some idea that that's what God's been saying and doing over the last 4 months, okay? And so we just want to kind of summarize a little bit this morning where we are and what exactly our response is to where we are as a church at the moment. Now, Isaiah 54, he gave us the first four verses back in September, which kind of started a bit of a process. And during that process, God really spoke to us from Joshua about coming into something new and into the promises of God, crossing over from where we have been to where God is taking us. But one of the things that God said to us right at the beginning of September to remind us of the call and the mandate upon us as a people, one of the phrases that he gave, which he's given before, but he was just really bringing it to the fore and giving more understanding of that, was part of our call and mandate is to see revival for a generation. Right. Now that has been the call and the mandate on Kingdom Faith before it even began. And so when, in God's mind and heart, he gave birth to Kingdom Faith many years ago, he had already determined that the mandate was to see revival for a generation. Now that has been the heart, that has been the word, that has been the dynamic of the Spirit that has been at work in Kingdom Faith for that 40-year period, to really be a people of revival, to see the church come alive, to see the church really moving in the things of God. And there's been times of genuine revival in Kingdom Faith's history. But as we come into this new generation of time, what he's saying is we're not just going to have moments of revival that might last for a few months or a couple of years and then the fruits of it. But he's saying he wants us to live in that dynamic of life for a generation of time. Right. Now, that has to be God. Because we can't do that in ourselves. It's got to be God. But it's God in relation to our response to him. So our response to what God says all the way along this whole next generation of time will actually determine whether we live in this dynamic of revival for a generation of time. So God's ready he's already doing stuff. He's ready to release more and more of his kingdom life amongst us and through us. But how much of that and how fast we move in that is determined by our response to what he says and what he wants to do. So it's not just now we're here, praise God, he's just going to do it, and we're like, hey, hallelujah, and we clap the Lord all the way. He's like, no, come on, guys, this is about possessing the inheritance, the promises. This is about seeing the things that I've said actually happen now in your day and in your time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of his favor. So today is the day that we want to see God do things. Tomorrow, when we get there, will become today. And so we want to see God move there. The next day will become today when we get there. And so we're not waiting any longer for the things of God, but we're responding now so that we live in the good of what God has been speaking to us over these past months. Now, how do we live in that? Okay. Now, the first four verses of Isaiah 54, if we just read them for a moment, it says, "Sing, O barren woman, you who never bore a child. Burst into song, shout for joy, you who are never in labor. Because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband, says the Lord." Now, what God said to us was, here's the nation of Israel. And God is addressing the nation of Israel at that point and saying, you're barren. There's no life in you. You've walked away from me. But what I want to do, I want you to come back to me. I want you to walk in my promises and walk in my ways once again. But what I want you to do, I want you to sing over the barrenness. I want you to sing over the lifelessness. I want you to sing over everything where there's nothing. And so it's a thing of faith that they had to do then to respond to the Lord. Right, we don't see anything going at this moment, but God is saying, sing over it, burst into song, shout for joy. And that meant in that line there, as they burst into song, it means to worship, to release the power of God into a situation. So our response in the autumn was to begin to respond to him by saying, okay, God, you want to take us from where we are into a new generation of time. And he wanted to give birth through us as people, because that's how God works. He just doesn't give birth from heaven. But he puts his word and he puts his purpose inside you and me, inside us as people. But he wants us then to give birth to that purpose by us responding to what he says. Our spirit, if you like, or our lives become an incubator for his word. So he puts his word in us, he speaks to us, his life in us. And he says, what I want you to do, I want you to respond to that. I want you to begin to sing over what I've said to you. I want you to begin to proclaim what I've said over you to give birth to what I want to do in this generation of time. So every generation has to give birth to what God wants to do in that generation. In this generation of time, we cannot live off what happened in this generation of time. My kids cannot live off my relationship with God. I cannot live off my parents' relationship with God. I have to get hold of God in my life so that the reality of God is happening with me, so that I know God and walk with God myself. So my kids, I want to see them grow and know God in a way that is very personal to them. So as they get hold of God and God gets hold of them, then God can give birth to his words and his promises for their lives that they're then going to see released through their lives. I can't give birth to the promises of God for my kids for the things that they've got to give birth for. Okay? So I know we're the same people in one sense here, and we're the same body of people coming into here. But what he's saying is, all the things I've said and done here that you have already seen and lived in, that's been great to see it there. But now I want to do something more, something that you haven't lived in before. Because what he's talking about now is the phrase that goes with it, revival for generation, turning the tide of a godless society. Now, that has been the heart and the purpose and all of that here. And in God's wisdom, he believes that the church is at a place, not just us, but the church, where he's now saying, he's saying the same thing all over the place in this nation to churches, that we're coming into a new generation of time. And there's a new release of life that is taking place. And so the heart to see all these things has been here, but now it's time here to really see the turning of the tide of a godless society. In God's timing now, it's not just us here, but in God's timing, That's what He is doing. And so we want to be right with the program of what God is doing. We want to be right with how the Holy Spirit is working and moving. Now, we know this stuff, and this is a bit of a reminder, okay? But for us, it's important that we don't say, well, this word was the word that God gave in September and October. We've done that. What now? Because unless we're doing and living verse 1, we won't see verses 2, 3, and 4. Verses 2, 3, and 4 say, enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Now, well, let's come back to that. For you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. So God is saying what He wants to do in this generation of time, possessing the land. What is that? And we've been discovering over these past few months, it's turning the tide of a godless society. It's not just seeing a few people saved. It's seeing towns, villages, cities, whatever, in this next 10, 20, 30, 40 years, being transformed, being impacted by the gospel of the kingdom. And so He started by saying, sing over what you don't see. You see, everything for us as Christians starts with faith. It doesn't start with what we see. It starts with faith. And it begins because God says something. Faith is then sparked into life. And we begin then to see something on the inside of us. We begin to see what God is saying. And we respond to that by then singing over it, by declaring what God is saying. So it's faith all the way. Then He talks about enlarge the place of your tent. And for me, there's a number of things in there. And we'll talk about one or two practical things Wednesday. But some of that enlargement is as we respond to God's word, the capacity of your life spiritually enlarges. Okay? See, we've all got muscles in our bodies, right? And if you don't exercise, your muscles are gradually going to deteriorate. But as you begin to exercise, your muscles actually begin to be stretched and they enlarge. And the capacity of your body increases because your muscles are being exercised. They're being stretched. They're being given. I don't understand what goes on in muscles when you exercise. But whatever goes on takes place in your muscles to enable them to increase, have a greater capacity. At the same time as you exercise like that, your heart also it becomes more healthy, becomes stronger. Your lungs have a greater capacity. Your whole body is not just healthy, it becomes fit. And so as we respond to the word of God, it's like exercising our spirit. As God says, sing over that, and we sing over it, the capacity of your spirit is enlarged. The strength of your spirit is enlarged. The strength of your faith is increased as you sing, as you declare, as you speak of what God says, because you're saying, I'm taking hold of that by faith now to speak that, to sing that, to proclaim that, and to see a release of that. So there's an enlarging, there's a strengthening going on in that way. There's a stretching of what is going on. But also there's a physical, there's practical stuff that we need to do also, which will come on Wednesday in relation to that verse. Then it says here, part of the fruit is that we're going to spread out to the right and to the left. And that means in terms of our own lives, it means in terms of people being saved, in terms of the influence of the church, in the community, in the region, in the nation and beyond. And it talks about here, about your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in desolate cities. I mean, that's a reality. It's not just a nice spiritual thing that God is saying. He actually means, because if you link that to the promised land, they went to possess the promised land. When they went in there, that it wasn't just, here's a nice few green fields, go and build something. He says, you're going to dispossess what is there. to all the ites that are in the land, all the things where the devil has, the enemy has holds over people's lives, where they're living in darkness, where they have no hope, and all kinds of things have caught hold of people's lives. We're in here now to dispossess the enemy's hold on people's lives. See people set free and come into the destiny and the purpose that God has for them. So we are here right on the edge now, okay? And there's a number of things we're going to just link into Joshua in a moment. But what he's saying is our descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. So there's a real thing of dispossessing the enemy's hold on people's lives. There are geographical aspects to this as well. We'll talk about on Wednesday in terms of planting things out from here in the whole region, geographically in terms of buildings, and we'll talk about that on Wednesday. So there are practical applications and to what God said. They're not just spiritual things in the atmosphere. There's got to be a downloading of a spiritual dynamic to see the realities of that in our own lives, in other people's lives, and then what actually then we see as a result of us responding by faith to what God says. Okay? When we're going to come back to this a little bit on Wednesday, not as a preach, but just practical stuff in terms of earthing what God is saying. Just turn to Joshua for a minute. Number of things in there. Around October time, I think it was, something like that, November to end of October, beginning of November. In relation to this Isaiah 54, and God speaking about revival for a generation, turning the tide of a godless society, he began to speak to us from Joshua. And because we were already saying, you know, we've had one generation of time here and now we're coming into a new generation of time. What he said is like the people of Israel, we've got to cross over into those promises, into the inheritance that he had been speaking about to the people of Israel all through the wilderness and that they went through, constantly reminding them, promising them. And then he said, now there's a point where you've got to cross over. Now, just before they crossed over, it says, I want you to, God said, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow I'm going to do amazing things among you. So they needed to consecrate. It's something that they needed to do in response to God. He said, consecrate yourselves. He didn't say, I'm going to consecrate you. He said, now you consecrate yourselves, because I'm about to do something among you that's going to amaze you. And so they had to basically get themselves sorted before God. And in one sense, they had to respond by saying, God, we are setting ourselves apart now. It was a heart response. We are setting ourselves apart now for your purposes so that we go together over this Jordan River, as it was for them, to step into the promised land or the place where we're going to see the fulfillment of everything that you've said. And so they had to consecrate themselves. Then after consecrating themselves, they had to break camp. Okay? So they had to move physically. Something they had to happen. They had to get up. And he obviously spoke to them about the ark and the priest carrying the ark. And as they stepped into the water parted. And obviously the ark represents the presence of God and the glory of God. And as the priest stepped into the water, the river parted, and they could walk across on dry ground. I love the verse where it says the people hurried across. Right. Now that shows that the response was important to what God was saying. He said they hurried across. They didn't saunter. They didn't take their time. They didn't just wander. He said they hurried. Now, they hurried because God had been speaking about this inheritance and this promise. They've been wandering around for 40 years. And these guys by now are like, come on. We want to get in here now. The river's open. Let's make sure we get over there because we don't want this thing to shut and go around for another 40 years. I don't know if that was in any of their minds, but they hurried across because now, come on, this is it. We've been wandering for a long time. Now we're going to begin to step into something that we've not lived in before in the way that God is talking about. So they hurried across, but then what did they do? They then made camp, okay? They didn't just go across and immediately hit Jericho, immediately sort of start taking all these cities and places that God was giving them. They came, they were camping, they consecrated themselves, they had to break camp, God went before them, they crossed over, and then they stepped in, and then they camped. Now, for us, that crossing over, the revival days we had in November was an important time. Because very much that was the sort of really, the crossing over, a lot of it took place during those few days. For us as a church, that we'd been consecrating ourselves, God had been working in us to respond to Him. And we broke camp, if you like, and you can't exactly put your finger on, but what exactly is something that God does? Because we haven't got a geographical river to cross or whatever in that respect. But it's something that God does. It's a spiritual reality. It's a dynamic of the Holy Spirit. It's real, but you can't exactly put your finger on it and say, we all crossed over and it looked like that. It's just something that happens on the inside of you and inside of us in relation to what God is saying. And then something changes in the spirit as we respond by faith to what God says. And so, as that has taken place during the autumn, we're now at this point, we're here, just inside, if you like, that crossing over point of what God has been saying, and we're camping. We've made camp, which is fine, because that's what the people did. And if we kind of use this as a parallel for us. And so we've had a few weeks over Christmas, and Pastor Colin was talking about this during the week. We've had a few weeks where we've had Christmas time. We've all kind of, it's been great to chill out a bit and just rest a bit and relax a little bit. And in one sense, that's the same as where we are as a church. We're now camping, right? But now, from today, it's like God saying, right, now we're going to begin to break camp once again, okay? Because I'm going to begin to speak to you and show you. And as he began to speak to Joshua about how to take Jericho, God has been speaking to the leadership about how we're going to move into the land. And obviously Wednesday night is really about that, okay? How are we going to begin to move into what God has said? What does it mean? What does it look like? And God said to me, really Wednesday is about who we are, how we are going to be, what we do, but in relation to that, what God does. Because it's not just about who we are and what we do. It's about who we are, how we are, and what we do in relation to what God says. And as we respond here to what God says, then we will see what God does. Because only God can fulfill His promises, but all He wants is a people that are ready to respond to whatever He says that He wants to do, but He wants to do it through a body of people. So our response here in this whole new generation is going to be key, it's going to be essential. And in the same way that they had a quick response to hurry across, we want to be quick to respond to whatever God says and however we need to move as a body of people, okay, in relation to seeing God's promises and God's purposes fulfilled. And now, what happened here? Once they camped, there'd been a whole generation that, when we look in Joshua, had not been circumcised, okay? The generation that had been circumcised, that had lived for 40 years through and gradually died out, and because they'd moaned and complained and all of that lot, gradually, God basically said, I'm not going to take anybody in until that generation has died out. Till all the moaning, complaining kind of attitude is gone. And in one sense, that's what God has been doing. He's been working in us to get rid of anything in us where it's moaning, it's complaining, there might be some disappointment or frustration, or there might be whatever's been going on in us as people. And He's wanted to make sure all that has died out, sorted out in us. And for some, that means they've taken themselves out of the situation. And that's one way of God dealing with stuff. But also, those of us that are here, hopefully we've responded and dealt with all of those things, if they've been there, so that when we come here, we're not still going over the same old ground inside, you know, where there's moaning, complaining. It's like, no, God saying, I've killed all that lot off so that I can cross everybody over together. And it's interesting, you know, in the church prayer gate, all the praying for unity. Because when God speaks about that, what He's going to do, He's going to be doing heart work in people to make sure that we're all together. Yes. All right? We have the Holy Spirit. We have the Spirit, which is the Spirit of unity. So what we want to do is we want to keep that unity. It's not that we've got to get it, because we have the Holy Spirit. What we want to do is we want to keep it. and make sure we move in the unity of the Spirit together. So it's not about, oh, we've lost it and we've got to get it. It's about walking in it, keeping it. All right? And so as we come here, now, the thing that God said to me this morning, today is a day of circumcision. All the blokes, suddenly. Now, when God said to them, before they crossed over, consecrate yourselves, it was something they did in response to God. When we come here, and then God said to these guys, you need to circumcise them, circumcision was part of the covenant, being a covenant people with God. Now, to be a covenant person with God, God initiates covenant. And obviously we need to respond to God to make covenant with God. But you see, what the circumcision represented was, you're my covenant people. I've set you apart for my purposes. And if you like, there was a physical mark on their lives that was saying, you are a circumcised people. And it was, as far as covenant was concerned, to do with the heart. Okay? And so here, it was something that they did in response to God. Here, it's something that God does in our hearts as we respond to Him. So He's not saying, now you consecrate yourselves. What He's doing, He's saying, now you're here, I'm going to circumcise hearts. What I'm going to do is I'm going to cut out stuff to make sure you're ready for possessing everything that I've said, to see everything that I've said you're going to see. And we've got a week of fasting in, not next week, the starting from the 18th. And I'll explain that in a moment. But when I was praying before Christmas, and God was talking to me about this, he said, you're coming into this new time to bring freedom to many others. So therefore, as a body of people, you're to live in the freedom that I've given you. And He wants us to be fit and healthy, spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, whatever, in our relationships, in our families, in our household, marriages, whatever context. He wants to be fit and healthy in every area of life so that we really come in with freedom for others, that we're not still trying to deal with stuff here, okay? So that we're not coming in with a limp into the land, saying, well, I'm still trying to sort my own marriage out. I'm still trying to sort my own kids out. I'm still trying to sort this sickness that's been going around my life for the last 15 years. It's like God wants to circumcise, to cut off that kind of stuff so that we come in with healthy friendships, healthy marriages, healthy families, healthy households, healthy bodies, mind, emotions, and physical as well. Okay? And so part of today is a circumcision, basically to say, God, where there are things that are unhealthy, I want you to come with, and actually, I want you to cut those things out of my life. Now, that means our response to Him today, but then it's something then He does. Now, that week of fasting, it's not so much about fasting food, in terms of what we're going to fast. I mean, why we're fasting, rather than what we're not going to do, why we're fasting is to see victory in marriages, in families, and from sicknesses, okay? Cycles of behavior and sicknesses or whatever that have been going on, and we're going to get the victory and break cycles of stuff that have been going on, right? So in this place now, where at the moment we're kind of camping and God is speaking and stirring about to break camp, He's like, while you're here for a moment, what I want to do is I want to establish victory in these areas, in these situations. Okay, and so what we're going to do in terms of fasting is the food thing, we'll come to that in a minute, but the main thing is, now we've done media kind of fast before, okay? And what we want to do during that week, from the Monday the 18th through to the Sunday, the 24th, I think it is cut out media. Now, what do we mean by that? It's the entertainment side of media. Now, I know there's a lot of stuff these days, like there's communication, where we text for communication, do other forms of communication, whether it's Facebook and things like that, okay? But there's forms of communication, because that's the way everybody communicates these days, But what we're going to do is we're going to cut out entertainment, if you like, that week. So in terms of watching TV, watching films, movies or whatever, in terms of just general surfing the internet, in terms of leisure, you know, and stuff. What else have I just jotted down here? In terms of computer games, that kind of stuff, where it's leisure using media, okay? What we want to do, this is for all of us, including our kids and everything, because what does God want to do? He wants us to have healthy relationships, healthy bodies, okay? So we want to just cut out some of those things. I know things like the Wii game, you know, can be brilliant for, you know, everybody having a great time together. But what we want to do, we're going to access each other's lives differently for a week, all right? And so some of it by fasting that helps us to create time and space where we can be together, friendships, marriages, family, whatever, households. And obviously some of that time needs to be praying, because what we're doing is we want to see some victory come into some situations, okay? And so now texting, fine, a bit of communication. Facebook, I know loads of people use Facebook, and there is a communication aspect to it, and there is a very social, even if I may, time-wasting element to that as well. And so what you need to do if you use Facebook is you need to use your spiritual common sense and discipline, right, that week, as to what is just communicating and sending somebody a message because you need to communicate something, and what is sitting there for just 3 hours faffing around doing this, that and the other on it when you could be doing something slightly more useful with that 2.5 hours of that three. Do you understand that? Yeah. At least smile at me, even if you're thinking, oh, that's a bit, you know, whatever. But what do we want to do? You know, if we want to see some results, then we need to change our lifestyle. You see, you know, sometimes we say, I just want to see this and that and the other happen. Well, sometimes what we're saying is our lives are so full of stuff, and we're saying, God, I want to see a breakthrough. And he's like, well, just step out of some of your schedule. Give me some space and some opportunity, and I'll come in. Sometimes we think miracles are God just invading our lives, but we're not even giving him a room or opportunity to do it. We're just saying, oh, I can't be naff to respond to that. So just do it anyway. Do a miracle for me, Jesus, and I won't have to do anything. And sometimes, you know, many things when you see in the Bible, what do people do to get their miracle from Jesus? They did something out of the ordinary. The woman pressed through the crowd. She put her life on the line. She did something out of the ordinary to touch Jesus, and then boom, something happened. You know, the blind guy, you know, he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He did something that was out of the normal. Jesus heard him, responded, he got his sight back. And sometimes we're saying, God, I want a breakthrough. And God says, well, just give me some space then. Just reorder some things. You make a decision to reorder some things, and then that will give me space to come and do something. Sometimes we're so busy and we're saying, come on, God, come on, God, come on, God. And he says, just stop, hang on. So just to encourage you, we want to see breakthroughs in situations. I mean, I know a whole number of different scenarios going on with different people. And for me, it's like it's time for breakthrough. It's time for an end of that in these people's lives. We're not having it anymore, right? But if you are in one of those situations yourself and you need that breakthrough, you need to have an adamancy on the inside of you as well. Absolutely. All right? We can get alongside, we can encourage, we can strengthen, we can stand with you and all of that. But God wants to do something on the inside of you that right, and where you turn around and say, okay, this is my time to get totally free from this. All right? And so it's going to be a powerful week, okay? Now, in terms of food, we're not going to do a general food thing. If you want to fast food in some way that week, then that's down to you, whether you want to, you know, whatever. But what we are going to do is a media thing, because that is something we all eat food, obviously. But I think for the kids, you know, it's harder to miss food and all of that for some of the little ones and everything. And the media thing also helps us to create time and space in a different way to spend time together. Also, and so we want to encourage people to have communion as well during that week. you know, as households, in your families, or if there's a bunch of single guys or girls or whatever, you live in the same place, the same house or whatever, you know, have communion together and actually pray for one another and give a bit of space, you know, for God to do stuff in your lives and everything. And so that's partly why we're going to fight. But it's in relation to this circumcision. Okay, God wants to cut away some things right now at the beginning of us being in the beginnings of the new of what God is saying. And we want to make sure that there's not cycles of stuff going on in different ways. And we want to see those broken and people's lives free from the influence. There's probably need some repentance and all of that, because that's part of breaking the cycle of the enemy in different ways. Because we respond, you know, because it's not just the enemy at work and we're just victims. You know, there is a part that we play and we make choices in our lives, and we've got to take responsibility for that. But there's many other people out here who are victims of all kinds of stuff. And yes, they've made decisions, but at the moment there's no get out. They don't know how to get out of what they're in. And so we want to come with full freedom as we're reaching people, so they know how to come out of it. So as we come into this, just to finish before we pray, okay? There's a couple of things that God said to me. He said, our mindset here, there's two words that God wants to have as a mindset. One is salvation and one is victory. Yeah. Yes. There are two words that are going to mark this next generation of time. One is salvation. What is that? It's not just a couple of people being saved. Salvation represents God's redemptive purposes. Now, that's made up of two parts, as far as I can understand from what God's been saying to me. One is to gospelize people. To gospelize means to actually be a disciple of Jesus. It's not just to give them the message and see if they say yes or no. To gospelize means to be thoroughly saved. It means to walk with God. It means to be a disciple, okay? So there's that part of it. But it's also God's redemptive purposes are for his kingdom life to be affecting every sphere of life and influence that is out there. That we're talking about God's kingdom life being in every sphere out there. And that's where you and me are. That's where a lot of you guys are. You're out in all the different spheres of life out there. Different aspects of life, workplace, society. And that's where God wants to release his kingdom life and his power into all the different spheres of life out there. Whether it's a 7-year-old at school, whether it's a 14-year-old doing his GCSEs, whether it's an 18-year-old at college, or a 22-year-old at university, or a 26-year-old in a factory, or a 35-year-old in an office, or a 47-year-old leading a company, whatever it might be, wherever you are, it could be a mum in the home collecting your kids from school, whatever sphere of life, whatever season that we're all in at this moment in terms of where God has placed us in life, that's where God wants to release his kingdom life through us. Yeah, front line of wherever God's got you. It's going to be great to see what happens with the blokes over the next few weeks as well. We've got nearly 100 guys signed up for doing Stronghold, and it's going to be awesome. We'll talk a little bit about that on Wednesday as well. But this is a place of salvation. This is a place of God's redemptive purposes being unfolded and being seen. It's a place of people being gospelized, made disciples, and God's kingdom life being released into every sphere of life out there. Very good. Okay? And but the second word is victory. So if like with the Israelites, when they went into the promised land, they weren't going in saying, I wonder if what's going to happen. I wonder if this is going to work or not. I mean, they hurried over because they knew this is it. And they didn't know what it was going to look like or how it was going to work out. But there was something in them that was going to possess, you know, the land, as it were, because God had spoken. Right. And he began to give them the plans. They began to follow them took Jericho, and obviously they blew Ai because they went in their own strength. And then once they'd also they dealt with the guy that stole some of the things he shouldn't have done from Jericho, hid him under the ground in his tent. Once God had dealt with that, then God spoke and showed them how to take the city of Ai. And so it's important that as a body of people, there's the personal faith and obedience to the Lord. And, you know, because many times we can look at the Old Testament and say, well, that was Old Testament, and that's the way God did it then. And the New Testament is a bit different because we got grace. Grace isn't there so that we can just say, well, it doesn't really matter. God will just do it anyway. Grace is here to enable us to live in the way that God has called us to live. See, grace enables you to live by the Spirit in a way that you can't without grace. Because without grace, you're doing it in your own strength. This is what we heard last week. See, they didn't have grace here. They had the law and they couldn't do it. That's why Jesus had to come. Now we have grace. We have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of grace in us to enable us to live and respond to what God says. So you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you to enable to live in the grace of God. All right? And so that's why we can come with a whole understanding and mindset of victory. Because it's only going to be the grace of God that enables us to see it. Okay, so let's stand together, shall we? Hopefully that's just given us a quick kind of summary as to where we're at and what we're doing. And when in Isaiah 54, where are we in those four verses? We're at verse 1. We're still in verse 1, okay? So Isaiah 54, verses 1 to 4, they weren't back in September, October last year. They're now, today, all right? In January 2010, we're in verse 1. Okay, as we respond today and as we hear what God wants to say on Wednesday and how we're going to respond to that, then we're going to begin to step from verse 1 into verse 2, 3 and 4 in terms of what we're beginning then to live in and see take place, okay? And so what I believe God wants to do this morning is for us to begin in relation to the circumcision of our hearts, if you like. There's something we do, obviously, to respond to God, but then there's something then He does, okay? He said before they crossed over, you consecrate yourselves. Here, He's saying, right, now I'm going to circumcise hearts. What I'm going to do is I'm going to set you apart now for the salvation and for the victory of what I've purposed here. I'm now setting you apart for my redemptive purposes here. I'm now setting you apart for my kingdom life to touch every sphere of life. I'm setting you apart now to really touch every nation of the earth. Because that's what happens here. How God's going to do that exactly, I don't know. But somehow He's going to do it, if that's what He's said. We've just got to say, all right, Father, if you've said it, then I believe it. I might not feel it, I might not see it yet, but if you've said in Isaiah 54, sing over this generation of time, and as you sing and declare over it, you're going to begin to then see it as you then obey what I say and walk in it. And so today there's a couple of things. How do we circumcise our hearts? One is to say, okay, Father, as part of the body here, I want to live in faith and obedience. As a person, as a member, if you like, of the body. I don't mean a church member. As a member of the body, as a functioning part of the body, I want to respond to what you say with faith, but also in obedience. Because it's going to be absolutely essential that we move like that as a body. So how do we keep the unity of the Spirit? By responding to what God says in obedience. So actually, what does obedience do? Obedience enables you to live in freedom. See, obedience in the world says, oh, you're trying to control me, or you're trying to tell me what to do. Obedience, when God speaks, it's a release to live in the freedom and the goodness of who He is. You see, the world turns something which God has given as a very positive thing to something that seems to be negative. Oh, you want me to obey you? Oh, that's a bit, I want to make my own mind up. Whereas when God says, hey, do this, because He sees the end from the beginning. He's already there, so He knows if we obey Him, the goodness of God that we're going to live in and the fruit that we're going to live in. And man, we all, you know when you obey God and you respond to Him and you do what He says, you're always, man, God is so, at the end of it, you're always like, God is so brilliant. Because He knows the best way of doing things. So let's just pray for a few moments. And there's a personal response, really, that where we say, Father, I ask you that you would circumcise my heart in these few days. that where anything needs cutting out, where if you're in a situation, maybe in your marriage, or there's something in your family, something in relationships with others. Now, sometimes we can say, well, somebody else initiated something. Well, let's just make sure our own hearts, first of all, we just circumcise them before the Lord. And it's like, Father, I ask you that you would come and in these few days, just circumcise my heart. Where there's issues that have been going on, I ask you that you would come and move in me in a fresh way. I want to be set apart for what you are doing in this new generation of time. I want to be set apart as a holy person. I don't want to be dealing with stuff and going round and round in circles with certain things that might be happening. Now, if you know there's a situation, rather than praying for somebody else in it, just pray in relation to yourself at this moment. Because it's easy, you know, it's always six and a half a dozen or something. It always takes two to tango in some way. And whatever part you've played, that's what you need to deal with, not the other person. You need to deal with your own heart, your own response and your own actions in relation to that. And so if you know there's pressure, there's a scenario, there's a situation, it's like, firstly, you might need to repent and just say, Father, I need to change. Something needs to happen in me, and I choose right now to repent from what I have done, how I have been, and what part I have played in this situation. What you need to begin to do this morning is just open up your heart in a fresh way. Not to have excuses as to the reasons why it can't work or you've tried this, that, or the other. This is a new day, a new time. The old has gone, the new has come. So this is the day of breakthrough. This is a time of things being sorted out, everything being left behind that is really and cut out that is not part of where we're going. So just bring yourself under his lordship right now. So what does God want to do? He wants to mark every one of us. How do we get marked by God? By encountering him. By being in his presence. That's when our lives get marked. When you take time to be with God. There's something of the mark of God. There's something of the tangibility of God that happens in our lives because we've been with him. I don't mean just reading a few Bible verses and praying a couple of prayers each morning. I mean, you spent time with God, being in his presence, spent time worshipping, engaging with him, saying, God, I want to know you. God, I want not just the touch of your life on me in a fresh way. God, I want the weightiness of who you are to be in me and upon me and to be moving all over me in a fresh way. God, I want to know you. That's how you begin to get marked. That's how you begin to have the shackles of stuff broken off your life. As you get before God, you go beyond, you know, that stitch moment. Now, for some, your stitch moment might be 2 minutes. Reading the white book, word a bit, and saying a few, and I don't know what else to do. Well, you begin to worship. Begin to adore him. Put a CD in if it helps you, but just begin to adore him and worship him. Go beyond that stitch moment. Your breakthrough's on the other side of the stitch moment. Your freedom's on the other side of the stitch moment. And as you worship and as you spend time, as you go beyond that, oh, I don't know if anything's happening. You're not looking for feelings. You're just there saying, God, I want you to circumcise my life in a fresh way. I want you to set me apart in a fresh way for all the things you're saying and doing. Thank you, Jesus. Why? Because we want to keep the unity of faith. We want to move together in the unity of faith and His purposes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. For many of us, God has given promises, has given words over our lives. And what He said in Isaiah there is, sing. Sing over what I've been saying. Now, when God says something, it's because He wants us to do it. You see, God lets us know what we need to know when we need to know it. So when He does say something, it's because He wants us to respond to that then, at that moment. Because it's something that God wants to do. So when He said sing, it wasn't just sing in a meeting and then we've done that. He's talking about our lives. Getting hold of things. Now, Jane and I, we've sung, we've worshipped, we've sung over various things over these last few months and seen things change. Sometimes it's been a real, you know, it's felt like a battle. It's felt like there's been resistance and all of that. But as we've sung and as we've responded to the Word of God, as we've sung over the church and as we've spoken over, you know, this generation of time and sung over it, scriptures and things that God has been saying, it's like God has begun to release those things. God has begun to do those things and all of that. Why? Because by faith, before we've seen it, we've begun to sing it. But we've been singing it with thanksgiving. Because as you sing it, it's like be full of thanksgiving. And that's why in a situation right now, whether it's a marriage, a family thing, a thing with other people in relationship, sing over that situation. Sing over that freedom. Sing over that God's word, whatever scriptures He's given. If He's given you promises for this year, which hopefully you've been getting before God and asking Him about this year, whatever scriptures, promises He's given you, sing those things over 2010. Proclaim those things over 2010. Declare those things over your life, your marriage, your family, your household, your job, whatever situation. Because that's the word of the Lord. And what are you doing? You're speaking that, declaring that, and saying, this is the reality of who I am in God. This is what 2010 holds for me. It's a year of fruitfulness, of abundance. It's a year of health and wholeness. It's a year of breakthrough. Whatever God has given you, that's what we do. We take hold of it by faith, and we sing it, we declare it, we proclaim it. And what happens? It then gets given birth to in our lives. We then speak of it. It becomes so real that it's more real than something not happening. And whether it takes a week, a month, 6 months, we then see it take place. See, it builds spiritual character in you when you respond in that way. You see, this generation of time is as much about the character and the nature of who God is amongst us, not just about the giftings and the excitement. And as we respond to God's word, it builds character, spiritual character, depth, strength, maturity in us. And as we respond to God's word, you know, and by faith, then God begins to do stuff that you know, well, that wasn't me. Because what does that verse say in verse 1? As you burst into song, as you worship me in response to what I've said, because there's a specific word there, sing over your barrenness, sing over what you don't see yet, okay? When we respond like that, it then releases the supernatural power of God to then fulfill it and do it. But first, so God says something, we respond, then He begins to do it. So I want to encourage you, whatever situations, whatever's going on, good or bad or whatever, sing over it. Whatever promises He's given, sing them out, speak them out, declare them. If He's saying sing at the moment, let's sing our hearts out. If He says sing it, don't say it. If He's saying, sing this thing, that's where you're going to get your victory. That's where you're going to see the breakthrough. We've got to be open for however God wants to lead us at any given time. So we're quick to respond, to move as a body of people in how He wants us to be. Father, I thank You for a people who are here. We're right in the beginnings of new things. Father, I thank You for that circumcision, that you're just initiating today, but it's going to be happening over these next few days. And Father, I thank you as you speak practically to us during this week. There's going to come a time in these next few weeks we begin to break camp, and as we begin to then move towards the Jerichos and whatever those practical things are, whether it's in Horsham, whether it's in the region, whether it's out in the nation or in other nations. Father, I thank you that you already have your plans. You've already set them. You've already drawn them up. You already know how we're going to move together. And Father, I thank you for a people who are quick to respond, ready to respond, willing to respond in your day of power. And Father, I thank you for a people who have a heart after you, to know you, to seek you. Father, I thank you for these next few days, days of victory, that fasting week, the grace to fast that week. But Father, I thank you for your words of freedom and life that are going to come that week, that's going to set people free from all kinds of stuff. Marriages being restored and sorted out. Families being restored and become healthy. Relationships where there needs to be breakthroughs, those things happening. Cycles of sickness being broken in Jesus' name. Loads of stuff being said, that's the end of that, so that we can come with true freedom for this next 40 years. God's got the next 40 years already sorted. It's already sorted. And so all we're going to do is just say, okay, Father, what's the next step? What's the next step? What's the next step? We don't need to know 50 steps ahead. If we knew 50 steps, we'd jump 46 of them and go on to the last four or try. What does he do? He gives us enough to take the next step by faith, so that we can see it, but we have to trust him. We see it by faith, but we have to trust him. And as we're taking that step, he's saying, right, now's the next one. Then he's saying, as we take that, there's the next one. He doesn't say, there's your 15 steps ahead of you. Because what we then do is we try and jump a few and miss a few out. And what happens is you get off balance and you fall off. He said, but if you walk step by step with me, he'll let us know what we need to know for the journey, whether it's personally or corporately. So we want to keep our ears to the ground. We want to keep our ears right on the Holy Spirit, personally and corporately. Because if you hear God and you obey, we see it. Father, I thank you for faith and obedience. Those two things that go together like a hand in a glove. We can't have one without the other. Father, I thank you for faith and obedience in the promised land. And as we do that, our own lives are going to be radically changed as we go. But also many, many, many others are going to be radically changed as well. In all kinds of spheres of life. So Father, we thank you and we exalt your mighty name. Amen. Come on, let's just thank the Lord, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.